This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The pandemic has exacerbated societal stress points all across the board. Even one of our most basic needs, access to food. More people are experiencing food insecurity right now. A new store in Grand Rapids aims to address this gap with tools of intentional design. For example, could our food choices change when food labels are telling us more? Would you be likely to buy a subscription box of local veggies if you knew it was also helping feed others in your community? Alita Kelly is the founder of Southeast Market, which opened its doors on Martin Luther King Day. Alita, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much.
Could you maybe walk us into Southeast Market, take us there through the magic of radio? When we walk into the storefront, what would I see? What would I smell? What kind of feel were you going for with the space?
Totally. So it's a very quaint space. And so when you walk in, you'll be greeted by one of our staff who is just as passionate about social justice and food justice as I am. And to the right, you'll see a window full of colorful local foods. Right now, we've got blue potatoes and delicata squash and rainbow radishes, all from local farms. We also have these tags that show just how far all of the food has come from. And that really signals how we are working to reduce our carbon footprint by sourcing local. And then if you walk around the rest of the store, you'll see an array of different items, dairy, shelf-stable grocery. All of them have these tags with an icon sticker on them to show where they're from and what type of business you're supporting. So whether that be a Black business or a female-led business or a local business, it's easy for the customer to see what they're supporting.
Alita, did you have a background in food retail when you started thinking about this?
Sure. So over the last several years, I've worked managing two nutrition programs in Grand Rapids through local nonprofits. Both of those programs were supporting vulnerable populations. And I also had a catering business. And then early last year, or May of 2020, I graduated from U of M with my degree in environmental science and sustainable business. So food justice, and that being closely tied to environmental justice and social justice, has been a passion of mine for quite some time. And while I was living here in Grand Rapids before I went to Ann Arbor to go to school, I always hoped that we could have some sort of store in my neighborhood where you could walk to, because I was learning about food access and the solution being, you know, put healthy food where people are, especially people that are financially challenged, who have higher risks of suffering from dietary related illness. And so I've been trying to imagine what this store looks like. And I'm so grateful that we're able to manifest that dream that not only I have, but many of our neighbors, into a reality now.
I feel like there are a lot of assumptions among people who don't experience food insecurity about, I guess, how this problem works. You know, if for folks living in a neighborhood that does not have grocery stores in close proximity stocking healthy food, well, you know, well, why don't people just drive to places where they can get fresh fruits and vegetables? Or why wouldn't they make the choices that, you know, that they need to make? But I mean, I have a feeling that a lot of people who do live in food deserts and experience insecurity are painfully aware of what's going on. What did you see happening in people's lives that you wanted to intervene in?
Totally. So a lot of my neighbors were doing their grocery shopping at Walgreens, which has no fresh food. They were saying that, you know, they have to work two jobs so they can make ends meet because they're making minimum wage. So after working, getting on the bus to go to Meijer, it was too much. And so they made do with what was at the convenience store, which is just not conducive to optimal health.
What are some of the things that are different when you're working with local food sources and Black, Indigenous, and people of color vendors and women-owned operations. How does that change the sort of interaction from what a more traditional grocery store might do?
Totally. So it's definitely a lot more about relationship building, because it's not just sending over an order form and then, you know, it comes the next day. We're learning about these farmers' lives, and we're able to share their stories and the unique challenges that they experience because of coming from their specific background. One example is that we have 1.4% of farmers in the United States are farmers of color, which is down from 1 in 7 at the beginning of the 19th century. So we're seeing a lot of land loss, and that land loss is caused by several different things, but we're able to share the stories with our followers and with our customers, so they feel good about the intentionality that they're making by coming in and supporting local diverse food vendors through Southeast Market, and also translating all of that support back to farmers and food entrepreneurs and food businesses as well, to create this community around food and support.
Will you tell me about one of your producers?
Sure. So most of our fresh food, when it's in season, it's pretty cold right now in Michigan. And so we don't just source locally, but we also go outside of Michigan when the season requires. But Groundswell Farm is an organic farm in Zeeland, which is about 20 miles west of Grand Rapids. And it's led by Bruce Michael Wilson. He's a Black farmer, and he grows some of the best food that we've ever seen. Collard greens the size of your head, maybe three heads. beautiful garlic with these purple hues, and his stewardship of earth is so beautiful, and it's evident in all of the food that he provides to us. Full Hollow Farm is one that I'm really excited to have in the store. They're in Belding right now, and it's a fully organic farm, and they take such careful care of these vegetables and herbs. And again, it's so evident in how beautiful they are. And we're so proud to have them in the store.
Alita, for those who don't know Grand Rapids as well, will you tell us a little bit about the 49507 area and your service area?
Sure. So the 49507 zip code is one of the most diverse spaces in Grand Rapids. At the same time, it has a lot of residents that are suffering from dietary related illness, which we know at this point is one signifier of having a harder time recovering from COVID and increased odds at contracting COVID. And so people with diabetes and suffering from obesity and heart disease, the rates in 49507 are astronomical compared with the surrounding areas. And so COVID really sent us off faster to tackle our mission, because we know, me and my business partner, Kara, we really bonded over food as medicine. And we believe that one way we can support our community in this time during the pandemic is by helping people with dietary related illness get nutrient dense food, because we really believe that it's not just going to be, you know, a vaccine or a food handout that's going to support people. It's going to be the long term change and support to their health.
I know that one of the core ideas that you and your partner had for this was the concept of a learning market. Can you explain what that is?
Definitely. So one piece of the Southeast Market that I'm really proud of is, and that a lot of people seem confused by, is we have food items that you might not necessarily associate with a health food store. So we have things like ramen noodles, and ramen noodles are by no means nutrient dense, but we serve ramen noodles there because we are honoring the experience that people have had living in food apartheid. And so we can't just show up and assume that everyone's going to know how to cook a delicata squash or work with rosemary. But by offering both things that they're used to and honoring their experience of living without healthy, fresh food in their neighborhood, we can bring the two together. So if someone checks out with, you know, just ramen noodles, we can share with them how awesome the meal would be and how they can pack so much more nutrients in their meal if they add these organic green onions or some local mushrooms that are a superfood, and how it's good for your immunity and your gut health. So we are doing our best to empower our staff to share what they know and to learn more through food so we can translate that into our community.
Southeast Market has a Pay It Forward program, which has an impact of increasing access even further to those who might not be able to afford it. Can you explain how it works?
Totally. So meat is one item that we haven't made any compromises on because we know that the benefits to eating local pastured meat are so great, and we want to make sure that that is accessible to everyone. And so Pay It Forward is a fund that our generous community supports and donates to. And we use those funds to sell all of our meat at cost to the customer, as well as produce from local Black organic farms.
Alita Kelly is the co-founder of Southeast Market in Grand Rapids. Alita, thank you so much for talking to us about this. I hope we can check in with you a year from now and find out how it's going.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
There's a program out of Michigan that's seen a huge spike in the need for food assistance during the pandemic. The Double Up Food Bucks program matches SNAP food assistance dollars when buyers spend at farmers markets and at certain grocery stores. This has been an option for folks using SNAP in Michigan for more than a decade, but supporters are hoping that Double Up could go even further with an ally leveling up in Congress. The creator of Double Up Food Bucks is Oren Hesterman. He's also CEO of the Fair Food Network. Oren Hesterman, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, April. Good to be with you.
Do you feel as though the pandemic has shifted your perceptions about food justice in America?
You know, the COVID pandemic has really given us a wake-up call about the fragility of many of our supply chains, especially the one in which we all depend, and that's food. And it's really shown that we have a dual crisis. It's an economic crisis and it's a public health crisis, and food is right in the middle of all of it.
Yeah. The actions that used to be so commonplace, going to the grocery store, is now one of the few central things that is top of mind for all of us and around which I guess we structure our weekly lives. Would you say that that has had an impact on the Double Up Food Bucks program? Just how people are using it and when?
Yes, we have seen a huge impact on the Double Up Food Bucks program since the COVID pandemic started. One of those impacts has to do with shopping behaviors. But the really great impact is because since the beginning of 2020, we have seen a greater increase in SNAP or food stamp use and participation since the program started. So in the history of the program, we've never seen a growth in the number of households that are using the food stamp program in the amount of food stamp money that's actually moving through the system.
Well, what's the magnitude of that growth right now?
Between 2019 and 2020, if we look at the year as a whole, there was a doubling in the use of Double Up Food Bucks, two times as much used in the state of Michigan. And when we just looked at quarter two of 2019 versus quarter two of 2020, it was a four times increase, a quadrupling. I mean, it's not just a small percentage. It's, you know, doubling and quadrupling.
Oren, the last time you were with us, you talked about your goal to bring Double Up from individual partnership across 26 states to all 50, you know, a fully national program. There has been continued support from Senator Debbie Stabenow, and she has now reclaimed the role of chair for the U.S. Senate's Agriculture Committee. Do you think that that's going to improve your chances of expanding Double Up in the coming years?
We sure hope so. You know, as Senator Stabenow takes the helm of the Agriculture Committee, I'm confident that she will continue to champion the kind of bipartisan win-win solutions like Double Up, like nutrition incentives that can support farmers and the needs of hungry families. And this is happening at a really important time when the next farm bill will start to be debated. And I think it can serve as a really good example of igniting this kind of bipartisan support and using the power of food to create the kind of change we need in our communities for our farmers and for our families.
The chairmanship of the House Agriculture Committee has switched hands as well. And the chair is now David Scott of Georgia, who I believe is the first Black man to hold that position.
That's correct. What we've heard from Representative Scott is that nutrition is one of his highest priorities. And we know that's a priority for Senator Stabenow as well. But I think we shouldn't be mistaken that the work of the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the committees that really help direct and fund that department are also about farming and agriculture. And we need to do a good job in supporting our local farmers and our agriculture in Michigan, in Georgia, and across the country.
It's good to be working on a program like that that has such broad appeal in both rural and urban communities. Still, I wondered if you could tell us if the increased polarization across our country has had any impact on the work that you do.
We have found, April, over the years of, you know, we're now about 12 years into the Double Up program. We started in 2009 with a small pilot at Detroit Eastern Market, and it has now spread across the state of Michigan and really across the country. And what we have found along the way is that this is one approach that has gotten bipartisan support across political parties and across ideologies ever since the start. It helps families that need healthy food get access to it. It puts those dollars in the pockets of local farmers, and it keeps those food dollars in the local community and the local economy, helping to create jobs and business opportunities in local communities. So this kind of win-win-win has, from the start, had support from Democrat and Republican, across the aisle, across ideologies, even at times where it seemed like the political divide was huge in this country. And I think it's really a hopeful sign. It shows us that when we have good ideas that are serving multiple folks in multiple communities, that our democracy can work to help keep those programs in place and grow them.
Well, Orrin Hesterman, we thank you so much for talking with us today, and I hope we can touch base later this year and see what happened.
Would love to do that. Thank you so much for having me on today.